Lord, that the only hindrance is us. The only hindrance is us, Lord. But you save us for a purpose. You save us for a plan that you have. And so, Lord, we tonight say, Lord, will you pull back the blinders? Lord, before we waste even another day, before we waste even another day just doing the stuff that we do because we're Americans or whatever it might be, but Lord, let us do something that is eternal, something that matters, something that changes a people, a family, a community. Let us, what we do, count. And so, Father, we say, would you come right now by your Holy Spirit and begin to pull back the blinders that we sometimes live with, that we might see so clearly what you have for us. Lord, to you be the glory. In other words, to you be the credit for all that is good. Amen, church. Turn to Romans, the 7th chapter. We've been going through the book of Romans, and the Apostle Paul has really been making a good, really a good case for the fact that all have sinned. Everybody that's ever lived has all have sinned, and all fall short of God's standard. And because of that, I mean, you might think, well, wait a minute, I haven't done real bad stuff. All have sinned, Scripture's clear. Whether you've told a lie, whether you stole a little bit, whether you've dishonored someone, whatever it might be, all are in the same place. That if we're to appear before God and God were to judge us, he would be right in condemning us. Everybody. Right? To me, that was a no-brainer when I got saved. I mean, yeah, you don't have to convince me that I'm not, you know, that I've got some issues and I've taken advantage of people. You didn't have to convince me. I knew myself. Right? And so the Apostle Paul really says that we're all in the same place. All humans are in the place of sinfulness and hopelessness. Hopelessness in getting right with God apart from Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes people think, well, I can get right by just doing a few good things. Right? I'll give some money to, you know, to some nonprofit and that should earn me some points. It doesn't earn you enough points. Right? Maybe I should, you know, walk a little old lady to, I don't know, through the neighborhood. That'll earn you some points, but not enough points. That apart from Jesus, nobody can be right with God. And so that's why the Father sent the Son, and he took upon him our sin, our failure, our rebellion. He paid for it, and he made us right with God. But God still has a righteous standard. See, we don't give our life to Jesus, and then we go back to living the way we want to live. No, he has a righteous standard that we're to live for. But here's the thing we find out pretty quickly. When you give your life to Jesus, I think the hard work finally starts. It was easy to live like a knucklehead. It was easy to live like everybody else did. I mean, it's so easy to do. Everybody's doing it. That's how easy it is. You know, I would when I worked with the federal government, I'd tell them, you know, living the way you live is easy. I used to do it. But to live as a godly man in our culture, that takes real strength. And you want to talk about someone that has real strength, try to live counterculture. That takes the strength of God, amen? And so this portion of Scripture, I've called it Overcoming the Struggle Within. Really, it's talking about the struggle of sanctification. Sanctification is a biblical word, not a biblical word, it's a theological word, meaning where the Lord begins to work out the junk out of your life. He begins to clean you up. That's a big word, sanctification. He begins to clean you up by his Holy Spirit. And that's not an easy thing. It's a thing that will take the rest of your life for the Lord to do that. But it is difficult to try to live for Jesus in a culture that is really inhospitable to godliness. If you try to live a godly life, someone's going to come and get in your face and call you all kinds of names, right? They're going to call you all kinds of names. That's in vogue in our day now. You know, let's call people names, right? Let's put them in a category. And with me, it just rolls. I'm thinking, you know, I was called worse names in playground. You know, to me, that's like playground attitude. That's like junior high-ish to me. If somebody calls me a name, call me a name. I've had worse. But that's part of the culture. If you go against the culture, they'll call you names. But there is this inner struggle that happens that if we want to obey God, it's not as easy as just saying, I want to obey him. Yeah, I'm gonna get my life right with him. It's not that easy. It really takes hard work, and we have to push, and we continue to push, and we continue to push beyond just the resolve that we might get to the place where we actually obey God in how we live. It's a difficult thing, but it's not impossible. It's like growing a palm tree in Oregon. You know, you're like, what's he saying about palm trees? Well, I just came out of, I flew back up from Southern California where they have palm trees, beautiful. And not so many palm trees in Oregon. They can be grown, but it's not an easy thing. And it's thing, and that's the same thing. We can grow into holiness. In fact, we're called to grow into holiness, but it's not an easy thing. It takes a lot of effort. And so the portion of scripture that we're going to talk about, I love it because it really spoke to me when I first got saved, and it's going to speak to you. If what I teach today doesn't relate to you, if the portion of scripture that I read doesn't relate to you, come up after service and I'm going to take your pulse, because chances are you're not alive, right? Because it's really speaking of every man, especially every man that wants to be holy and live for the Lord. This portion of scripture is really going to talk about the inner struggle that we'll go through. Here we go. Here's the first one. Verse 14 in Romans 7, verse 14. You know what the Apostle Paul says? For we know that the law is spiritual, meaning the law of God is a good thing, right? But here's the problem. I'm carnal. I'm all too human, right? I'm all too human. I'm carnal. I can have crazy thoughts. Any besides me has crazy thoughts from now and then, right? Crazy thoughts. Okay, good. Just half the room. Okay, the other half can keep us sane. So for I know that the law is spiritual, meaning that God's law is a good thing. It's a very good thing. But I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. Means sometimes I can get myself enslaved. By my decisions, I get myself enslaved. In our day, we call it addiction. Well, it doesn't have to just be an addiction, but something can gain control over you. Right? It could be food, it could be drugs, it could be loss, whatever. It could be all kinds of things. That's what he's saying, that God's laws are a good thing, but I've got this part of me that from time to time, I'll allow myself to be enslaved, but I shouldn't. Look at verse 15. And he's talking about, he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand, which is really point one. I don't get why I do what I do. I don't know if you've ever been there. Like, I don't know why I do what I do. Sometimes I do stupid things. I don't know why. Or I say things I shouldn't say. I don't want to say that. Or sometimes I mistreat people. I don't want to mistreat people. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, you know what? I'm going to mistreat people. That's my lot in life. But we do it. No one gets up in the morning, you know what? I'm going to be mean to people. Someone ought to be mean, and I'm going to take it upon myself. No one lives that way. We all wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to be good to people today. And as soon as somebody cuts you off, right, on the way to work, that resolve is out the window. All of a sudden, you're just thinking all kinds of crazy thoughts. I mean, I've even thought, I hope they go off the road and crash. You're like, how did this guy become pastor? I'm a work in progress, people. Come on. I'm a work in progress. But that's what he's talking about, that we might have a resolve. You know, I'm going to just love people. But it's not so simple. He says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. I don't get it. He says, I don't get the way I act sometimes. For what I will to do, I do not practice. Man. For what I will to do, I do not practice. But it gets even worse. What I hate, that I do. And he's like, see, I can relate to him. Because I'll tell you one thing I hate about me. Can I tell you something I hate about me? Sometimes I'm short with my wife. You know, for those of you who don't know my wife, I'm married to the most beautiful woman on the planet. She is a god. She's an amazing lady. I can't believe she's married to me. You know, I caught her at a weak moment in life. And took full advantage. I'm going to tell you the truth, man. She was on a rebound. I'm taking advantage of that, right? I've been married going on 38 years. But you know what I hate is sometimes I'm short with her. Sometimes I'm short with her. And this is what I hate. I would never be short with Daniel, right? I would never be short with William, right? I for sure would never be short with Lourdes. She's a saint, right? Never. She is. And yet, the woman I'm supposed to love, that I'm committed to and I vow to love, sometimes I'm short with her. And I hate that about me. But do you think it keeps me from being short? No. Who here will admit, you know, I'm sometimes short with my spouse? Raise your hand. Yeah. The very people you're supposed to love, right? Get your hand up. Come on. Like, some of you are like, no, not me. Next week, I'm doing a sermon on lying. But I hate that about me because I've told myself time and time again, you know what? I'm gonna be nice to her. I'm not gonna be short with her. I'm gonna be kind to her, because I should. Because I treat all you guys so amazing, and sometimes I don't treat my wife so well. So I've decided I'm gonna treat her well, and I'm gonna start mistreating you guys. I mean, we gotta balance it. We gotta balance this thing, you know. But he says, I mean, the things that I hate, I do. These guys going crazy. I mean, this is a sense, you know. I mean, part of the controversy of this portion of scripture is they're saying, who's the Apostle Paul talking about? Is he even talking about himself? Because they're saying, whoa, he's the Apostle Paul. Well, surely he wouldn't say that there's this struggle within him. You know, they're saying, well, maybe the Apostle Paul talking about what he was like as a non-believer. Well, that doesn't do me any good. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. And so I don't care what, if you're telling me about your struggle before you came to know Jesus, I'm no longer in that state. I'm in this state. And so there, the whole thing, well, you know, is the Apostle Paul really describing himself? Because here's what we do sometimes. We take scripture and we elevate him. He's still a man. The Apostle Paul, he's the apostle, but he's still a man. Just like you and I, still struggling with stuff. Maybe not at the same level, because he's a mature man of God. Maybe not the same level, but guess what? He's still a man. And he still has that inner struggle going on in him. So he says, the things I hate, I still do those things. Verse 16, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that the law is good. In other words, the problem is not God's law. He says, the problem is not with God. The problem is with me. The problem is the guy in the mirror. Nothing that God says that I shouldn't do. That's not the problem. You know, sometimes we want to blame God. Well, God, why do you have to tell me not to do this? No, the problem is not the law. The problem is I choose not to do it, or I choose to do the things that I don't like. But he says, you know, God's law is not the problem. It's really sin, or this thing that's inside of me. And another thing I like what the Apostle Paul does is he doesn't blame somebody else for his problems. We live in a day in which that's the pastime in this culture. We blame everybody but ourselves. You know, it was mom and dad. You know, they were kind of mean to me. You know, they withheld love, whatever. You know, I grew up, my dad was old school. My dad was born in 1950. I grew up never having a recollection of my dad telling me that he loved me, right? My dad never, you know, he wasn't one of these guys that would hug me. You know, I don't have recollection of being on his knee, you know, and bouncing me around, you know, like, I know you're like, no, we know what's wrong with him, right? But, you know, here's what I realized. My dad was old school. Old school. Old school thought, wait a minute, I'm going to show my love by providing. I'm going to show my love by being consistent. I'm going to show my love by staying with my wife. Right? Even when we're fighting like cats and dogs, I'm staying in this marriage no matter what. I mean, that's the way old school guys show their love. But when I came to Jesus, I said, wait a minute, I don't have the same restrictions my dad did. Right? That limit is not on me. I can be demonstrative in how I express my love. And the Lord changed something in me. My family was not a huggy family. We didn't hug at all. Right? If you tried to hug a brother, they'd knock you out. I mean, that's just the kind of family I was raised in. But after I got saved, there was something happened in my heart. All of a sudden I just want to hug my family. And I remember my brothers are like, whoa, you know, like, what? What has happened to you? Don't be hugging us. Don't be hugging us. And I tell you what, my whole family was transformed. I mean, I remember my dad sticking his hand out. You know, he didn't want to hug me. Right? Well, you know what I did? I smacked his hand away. Come here, Dad. Right? Come here, Dad. And then after a while, I'm kissing my dad. Right? Kissing my dad. And then later on, my dad's kissing me. Oh, I love that. I kiss my kids. They're in their mid-30s. Pam and I had them when we were 10. They're in their mid-30s, right? But I still kiss them. And they don't complain. They love to be kissed. They love to be loved by their pops. So there's no limitation anymore, right? And so the Apostle Paul, he's not blaming God. God, it's your problem, or I was this. No, you have the ability to today start a new season. Today, you can start a new season. I don't care what you've been through. Today you can say, with my family, it changes. If there's something your family is not, don't blame God. Because today you can change that. It's like there was times when, as a parent, I screwed up. As a parent, you know what I did when I screwed up? I went and apologized to my kids. They needed to know, you know what? The problem's not you. I screwed up. I blew up. This was not worth me blowing up. They needed to know that I'm in process too. I'm growing. See, because then they can say, you know what? It's okay to grow in this family. See, a lot of times, if you find an adult that lies, a lot of times you can trace that to when they were children, that they got in trouble for lying. So now they're an adult and no one's told them they're 40 and they don't need to worry about getting in trouble. And yet they're still continuing the same pattern. Well, we're saying you don't need to live that way anymore. That you now can say, Lord, I'm going to live the way you want me to live. And so the Apostle Paul's not saying that, guess what? You know, God's to blame or somebody else is to blame. He knows the issues within. He knows the problem is somewhere within, right? And then he says really that you know, I agree with the law that the law is good. And then when he talks about he's sold for sin or he's sold under sin, he's enslaved again. He's not saying that's the way he lives. But now and then, really what he's saying is sin gets the upper hand. Sin gets the upper hand, and sometimes it does. And I think a lot of times it gets the upper hand because we're lazy. We're lazy. We're just not doing the things we ought to be doing. Like in this church, we read the Bible how often? Every day. You know why I read it every day? Because I need to read it every day. See, it corrects me every day. And I'd like to tell you, you know what, Pat? Your pastor needs correction like every fifth day. No, I need correction every day. Even simple stuff. I'll be reading the Bible, and it tells me I should love people. Oh, yeah. You're right. It's a good reminder. I go to weddings. I love weddings, right? Invite me to your wedding. I love weddings, right? Because in a wedding, it reminds me, oh, I'm supposed to love her, right? I'm supposed to be patient with her. In good times and in bad times, I especially like the vows, because it reminds me, wait a minute, I made vows before. Do you know what I'm talking about? See? And that's what the Word of God does for me every day. It reminds me of the things that I need to be doing. It corrects me. Look what Galatians 5:1 says. Stand fast. In other words, man, be ready, right? Stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made you free. This is actually our verse for the year, right? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What he's saying, the Lord made us free. We're supposed to stay free. That if we're not free, it's because we entangled ourselves. We were the ones that have got ourselves in that position. And sometimes we do. We do it because we're lazy. I call it sticking your chin out to the enemy. And where I get that is, I remember watching on YouTube or somewhere one time, there is these MMA guys in Russia, and it was kind of a big guy against a little guy. And so round one, you know, it looked like a mismatch. And so the big guy, right, I mean, he starts getting pretty cocky. In fact, he starts like sticking his chin out there, just daring the little guy to hit him. I mean, that's how confident he was. Well, guess what the little guy did? Kaboom! Out! Right, the one punch, the big guy is out. Right, he's seen stars. I mean, that's how bad it is. But you know, we do the same thing with Satan. Right, we do the same thing with the enemy. We get lazy. We don't read our Bible. Right, and one day goes by, and then 3 days, and a week goes by. We're not praying. Right, we're allowing ourselves to see stuff we shouldn't see or hear stuff we shouldn't hear. And pretty soon we're saying, I dare you, I dare you. Well, you know what? He's gonna take you up on that air, right? He'll knock you out, and you're like, oh, I can't believe. I can't believe I screwed up again. No, you made it too easy. You're supposed to make it a little bit more difficult, amen? Make it a little bit more difficult for him. Here's the second thing. The first thing is I don't get why I do what I do. Here's the second thing. When you do something, it's not the new you, right? It's not the new me doing the wrong. Look at verse 17, what the Apostle Paul says. Is there something else going on here? He says, but now it is no longer I who do it. Because the new me says, man, God, I want to live for you. But somehow something else takes over. He says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Only because I gave my life to Jesus doesn't mean that sin nature is done away with. I got to fight that sucker every time. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, or my sinful nature, nothing good dwells. In other words, I shouldn't play with that. For to will is present in me. In other words, I wake up in the morning and I want to do right. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. He's really kind of expanding what he had said already. He goes, man, I'm like going crazy. I'm like going crazy. I get up in the morning, I want to do good, and I don't do good. He says, for the good, verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I do not do, that I practice. But now that I practice. I mean, he's like, man, I'm going crazy here. And I can relate to him because after I got saved when I was in college, I was an athlete in college, and there was the vows. I'm like, man, I'm not gonna booze up anymore, right? I'm not gonna, you know, and I'm like, I'm done. And then somebody invited me to a party, okay. You know. Oh, what happened to my, you know, and then I wake up outside in the morning. Like, what happened to the vow? What happened to my resolve? And so after, I mean, just going through that, I remember being in my bedroom on my knees, just talking to the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, I'm going crazy. I want to live for you. And I say, man, I'm going to do this. But then it just goes out the window when somebody would invite me to do something. Just that quickly. And then it's like, oh, then I feel like terrible. And I got to confess, Lord, can't believe I'm still doing this. And so finally, I'm on my knees saying, Lord, I'm going crazy. And I hear the Lord clear to this day. I said, Lord, what do I do? Clear as day, he said, move. See, because I live with all athletes. And athletes, we did stuff we shouldn't be doing, right? In fact, the apartment complex I lived in were all athletes. It was a apartment complex where, you know, like the athletes lived. And that was even worse. And so the Lord says, clear as day, he says, move. So I wrote a little letter for my roommate saying, hey, I'm moving. Wrote a check. Here's for the rent, here's extra, just in case, because I didn't want anybody to say, oh, you know, he stiffed us. No, here it is. This is what I figure, here's extra, just in case. And so I moved, right? I moved to the next town, and then got involved in the church, and then began to get discipled, and everything changed. Everything changed for me, right? But it was because I was going crazy. I'm like the Apostle Paul, man, I don't know why I'm doing this way. I don't know why I still are doing the very things that I didn't want to do. But he says, the problem is sin. Right, the problem is really inside. Now, verse 20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, kind of tricky, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He goes, the new me wakes up in the morning and says, man, I want to live for you, God. He said, but the old me rises up sometimes. That's sin nature. And so really, it's not the new nature. It's not the new me doing it. It's really the old me doing it. Right? And so the Apostle Paul says, man, I'm struggling just like you guys. I'm struggling because I want to obey God. I'm not really making excuses, but I'm seeing that I don't have the strength to do what God wants me to do. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to, you know, to just say, I'm just gonna grin and bear it. That'll get you for a while. Anybody can quit something for a while, right? But I tell you what, to be delivered once and for all is a whole different thing. That's why, you know, you guys know this. It's understanding who you now are. That's why in our recovery programs, we're not huge on, you know, hey, I'm Carlos, I'm this. No, I'm not that anymore. This is who I am. And so we declare who we are, not what we were. See, we don't declare, yeah, I'm still tied to the old man. Forget the old man, he's dead. We declare what is, who we are now, right? So it's this war that's going on, right? The old nature against really the new nature. And yet we own up to our stuff, but we disown that old man. Right? I disown that old way of living. The Lord calls us to be saints. A lot of times believers, you hear in church, well, I'm sinners saved by grace, which is true, right? But the Lord calls us saints. He said, you're totally different. You're not the town drunk anymore. Right? Not the town drunk anymore. And yet sometimes we still hang on to that old way of thinking. Well, you know, I'm angry because Well, my dad used to, he had an angry problem. My dad was an angry, you know, kind of an angry kind of guy. Grandpa, in fact, kind of angry guy. So that's just, I'm just angry is who I am. No, you're not. You choose to be angry. You can change it all. Choose to be angry. You know, it's like judgmental. Oh, yeah, you know, my grandpa, he's kind of judgmental. He hated everybody. Well, and I kind of picked that up. Well, guess what? No, you're judgmental because you choose to be judgmental. Right? Somebody comes in the room and you're like, they're stupid. I mean, wait, you don't even know them yet. And yet we sometimes do that to people. We write them off. Don't we? Okay, three of us do. But here you hear the Apostle Paul saying, man, I want to do the right thing. And it really relates to me because, you know, we say, you know, I want to really serve the Lord. But yet we don't sign up for children's ministry. Well, it'll always be that way. Well, next cycle. You know how many people in our discipleship program that haven't taken it, that they say next cycle. And I know, guess what, they're not going to do next cycle. Next cycle comes, next cycle. And they don't think I remember. I remember pretty well. And then next cycle, right? Or can I be honest with you? I can even see names that are putting on there and I can say that person and this person are not going to do it. Because every cycle, they put their name down and they never follow through. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about. It's like, man, I put my name in. Oh, I feel good. Yeah, but there's no follow through, right? There's no follow through because that old man says, man, it's going to be hard. They're going to have you memorize stuff and you can't memorize. How many know your name? You can memorize. How many of you think you're going to find your way home tonight? Raise your hand. You can memorize. If you forget your name and can't find your way home, come see me. We'll give you an exception, okay? So we might say, I desire to serve. Well, you got to do something. You got to follow through. Or, man, I desire to study the Word of God. How often? But you haven't touched your Bible in 3 days. Or you don't even know where your Bible is. It was years a little bit ago. You know? See, can I give you a bad time? I know when I'm going to come visit you, you find your Bible. Because you're like, pastor's going to come, he might see my Bible. Right? So you wipe it off. And you put it on the table, and it's got to be open to something. Right? It's got to be open to something because, you know, pastor comes, I want to make him believe that, man, I'm in this how often? Every day, which is what we do here. So we do. In fact, it's in our app. We have a reading plan that we read the Bible every day. Right? Read it every day. I'm just giving you a hard time. Here's the third thing that the Apostle Paul really talks about this. He's not only saying, man, I'm sometimes I don't even know why I do. I don't know why I act the way I act. He says, you know, I know it's not really me, the new me, the guy that wants to do right. And the third thing is, man, there's like a battle within me. There's this tug of war. This tug of war. And I know you know that there is a tug of war within you. Look what he says, verse 21. He says, I find then a law or a principle. He goes, man, there's got to be something deeper here. I find then a law or principle that evil is present in me. The one who wills to do good. So I want to do good, but there's something fighting me. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God. God, I want to follow you. I want to be right with you. And when I appear before you, like all of mankind will appear and give an account, Lord, I want to be right with you. It says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. So inwardly, yes, Lord. But I see another law, another power in my members. My members could be, you know, everything of who you are, your mind, your mouth, your hands, or whatever. There's something else that's at war, right? Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So he says, I want to do good, but there's something fighting me. What are you saying? There's something inside fighting me. And you know what I'm talking about. Because the moment right now you could say, I won't do this. You can even right now, you can test me. Say, I'm not going to do this anymore. And the war begins. The battle begins in the mind. Or you can even say, I'm going to do something good. This good thing I'm going to do from now on. right? Like, as a matter of fact, if you say, you know what, Pastor, you're right, you convinced me I should be reading my Bible every day. If today you say, if you make this commitment today, as a result of that, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Hell's going to throw what he can at you. Because he's going to try to, because most of us are momentum kind of people. So he knows all he has to do is stop your momentum and pretty soon you're back to the old ways. And what he's going to do is your boss is going to give you this job assignment, or he's going to send you out of town, or he's going to do something. All of a sudden, your regular schedule is interrupted. All of a sudden, your boss says, man, we got these orders. You got to work 14 hours a day. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm too tired to what? Read my Bible. See, something gets in the way. Or you get disappointed. Well, I was praying for this, and it didn't happen. You know, I prayed for like 3 days, and it didn't happen. And I'm mad at God, so I'm not going to read the Bible no more. You know? I'm going to read the Bible. It's like the guy that says, that's told me before, you know, I'm mad at God. I'm telling him, you know what? He can handle it. Yeah. He can handle it. I'm telling you, you do your part, and God will do his part. But the problem is we don't do our part. So really the right view, the way I do this is I know I've won the battle. The battle's won. I'm a follower of Jesus. I believe in what Jesus did for me. Right? My sin was put upon him. He paid for it. It's done. I'm free. I'm not an ex-con. And I'm free. Free. If you ask me what, I've never done any time. I mean, in real life, I've never done time because you're new to East River. Like, I didn't know he was an ex-con. No, I've been in lots of jails, but not because I had to be. Okay? You see, I've won the battle, but I know there's skirmishes along the way. And that's where you want to be victorious, is the skirmishes. That's where you got to focus. Right? It's great that you understand that the battle's won, but it's those daily things. Those daily, the skirmishes, I'm going to read my word every day. I'm going to read my Bible every day. The skirmishes begin. And I think it's always good to ask somebody to help you, somebody to hold you accountable, you know, to go to somebody and just say, hey, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Will you check with me every week? Ask Angel. Angel is a detailed person. She'll make sure. Right? Right. Here's the fourth thing. See, it's one thing to say, man, I'm struggling, man. I want to live for God, but I'm struggling. See, you know me well as a pastor, I'll never leave you there. Never leave you there. But neither will Scripture. See, when I read this, I'm like, Lord, what the heck's going on? I want to live for you. I'm going nuts. Going nuts. I want to live for you. And look at me. I'm living worse than people that don't even confess your name. I'm going crazy. But here's what I did. I read the rest of the verse. Verse 24, Romans 7. O wretched man that I am. That word really in the original language means miserable. So miserable that you're really kind of worn out. I don't know if you ever done something and failed, that you eventually get worn out. That's really what he's saying. Man, I'm so worn out, trying, I'm so miserable. Right? Point number four, I know who rescues me, Jesus. So when I got on my knees there in my bedroom, and I'm like, Lord, I'm going crazy. I can't live this way anymore. Can't. I'm right where the Apostle Paul is. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25, here's the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, he's the answer. He's the one that spoke to me. He's the one that said, guess what? Distance yourself from those things that tempt you. Distance yourself. They're good people, but I tell you what, they're not good for you. They're not good for you. So I had to distance myself from them. And I tell you what, it was a lonely thing, but it's the best thing because I found a new community that discipled me in the things of the Lord. So as I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind, I myself will serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, I'm worn out by this struggle, and I'm desperate for deliverance, and I know where the answer comes from. The answer really is Jesus. He's the one that could deliver me from those things that I've struggled, even if I've struggled with them for 20 years. Although the struggle wasn't over for the Apostle Paul, he knew that the deliverer was part of the one that fought the battle for him. You know, 2 Timothy 2:4, I don't have that up there, but I love this because in Scripture, the Lord uses a lot of analogies to really describe how you and I are to conduct ourselves. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says this, you therefore must endure hardship. Well, now it tells us right away that this Christian life is a hard life. It's a hard life. It's not an easy life. If you think, oh, this is fun and games. No, I don't know what you were sold, but this life is a hard life. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It says, no one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You know, in battle, you know, I see, you know, plenty of film of people that are in battle. And you don't find too many people that are out of shape, right? You don't find people that are in battle. You don't see them going, you know, I think I'm going to go down to the mall, right? I think I'm going to go check out what's going on in politics. No, they have an assignment. They have an order, and they're going to carry out that order. And they don't allow themselves to be distracted. They don't allow themselves to be distracted. And he says, you know what? That's the way we as believers are to live. We're to discipline ourselves in such a way that we can carry out the orders. So if our general says, take the hill, we're like, I don't know, I kind of got asthma, right? Spiritual asthma. I can't take the hill. No. We take the hill. But we don't take it if we're disciplined followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the way you overcome the internal struggles. Let's worship the Lord.